Welcome back, everyone. This is Chris, and you were listening to the Chris Gilbertson Show, where I interview experts and millionaires in key areas in business and life to help you excel as an entrepreneur. And today, I am so excited to introduce our next guest on the show. This man is shifting mindsets and changing lives literally all across the world. And his name is Mr. Dave Blanchard, and he is the chairman and CEO of the Augmandino Group, which is the parent company for all Aug-related companies, including Intentional Creation, Augmandino.com, The Greatest Salesman Incorporated, which is best known for the perennial best-selling book, The Greatest Salesman in the World, Six Advisors Incorporated, and Six Advisors Coaches and Academy. And Dave is also the developer of the Intentional Creation, which literally takes Augmandino's principles into the 21st century, which is a fully loaded assessment and coaching curriculum. And what's amazing about Dave is that he believes that the best way to assist entrepreneurs to break through sabotaging thought processes is to get right down in the trenches with them. And to that end, Dave has conducted over 4,300 one-on-one assessment debriefs with professionals using a mathematically driven and scientifically validated process. And what this process enables Dave and his coaches to measure is how you think and, more importantly, understand, analyze your exact thought processes that are not supporting your success, to which Dave and his team have then created amazing systems and tools to support their clients in shifting how they think to support that big vision for your business and then to turn it into a reality, not just a theory, an imagination of someday. So this process has been so successful, he's literally coached over 3,500 professionals using this assessment. He's helped these professionals to take their greatest gift of vision and to learn how to use their mind constructively to achieve their actual dreams, which he has followed this up with over 2,600 hours in private coaching sessions, and which he's addressed his discoveries in his brand new book, Today I Begin a New Life. So I am so excited to welcome Dave to our show to share with you this amazing process that he uses every day to help entrepreneurs truly live the life of their dreams. And to learn more about Dave, make sure you head over to chrisgilbertson.com, go to the blog section and click on Expert Interviews, so you can be able to take advantage of his free assessment to understand exactly how you're thinking in your business and how your thought processes are either supporting or sabotaging you. So without further ado, I welcome Mr. Dave to the call. Welcome, Dave. How are you doing today?
Wonderful. Thank you. With that introduction, I better show up.
Well, I'm just so excited to have you. Just excited with enthusiasm for what you have created and who you're helping. So I'd love for you just to share how you got started with the Augmandino Group and how this has evolved for you in helping so many entrepreneurs make these breakthroughs.
Well, in short, I've been an entrepreneur most of my life. And in 1989, Ramona, my sweetheart, and I lost millions of dollars in the real estate collapse in Southern California. Not a good day. I had $1 million of debt. I was the co-signer on all the corporate debt. And I decided to start a new career as a writer and director. Now, that sounds pretty wild, but you apply the same principles to actually doing the writing. For 2 years, I wrote 8 to 10 hours a day, perfected the skill, and spent the next 10 years writing and directing, was able to pay back the $1 million in debt and create our estate again, which was wonderful. In that process, I ran into the work of Augmandino. A son-in-law was sitting at our family about 7 years into this journey, and we were talking about what we had been through and the trials and what it was like to face that debt and just pay it back, just work our way through it. And he says, oh, you've got to read this book by Augmandino. And I must tell you, I had never read it. I have to be one of the only human beings in America that hadn't, or in the world. I think there's been like 25 million people buy the book. And he said, he was from South Africa. He said, I was in Margate, and I went into a used bookstore, found this book, paid equivalent of 59 cents for it, came home, read it, went back the next day and bought everything I could get that had Augmandino's name on it, got 5 or 6 books. He said, I'd be happy to lend them to you. And I said, that'd be great. So the next day he brought them over, the stack of Augmandino books, and on the top was The Greatest Salesman in the World. So you can imagine the experience I had. I start reading this book, and it's like Aug walked into my life like an old friend and just said, where you been, Dave? And I had the privilege about a year later to get hired to write a feature film script for one of the very books I read in that stack. That was a great experience. Got to become great friends with the Ogmandino family. And in 2000, it was January 2000, freezing cold winter, standing in a cancellation line of The Lion King in New York City with a film crew. We got done early, so we're standing in this freezing cold weather trying to get in. Betty calls me on the cell phone and says, Dave, the rights to the greatest salesman in the world, the movie rights, that's where we started, are not going to be renewed. He was a famous actor. He was very ill at the time. He was divesting himself of these kinds of things. She said, you're the first person I call. Would you be interested? I said, Betty, is this a rhetorical question? She said, no, really. And I said, great. So we spent the next 2 hours. We're standing in a cancellation line with the wind blowing. It's like 20 below zero with the wind chill factor. And I'm talking to our attorney in California, then her attorney in New York, and then the publisher in Florida. And by the time we got done, the decision was that I would leave the film industry and we would start a new company called the Ogmandino Group. I'd become the CEO, and we would dedicate the company to bringing Ogmandino's principles to the 21st century. It's been 12 years. We've created incredible sciences and embraced sciences that help us measure how someone thinks. After 10 years, 11 years, I wrote my own book that was just released in January, titled Today I Begin a New Life, which is my journey with these principles, so that we can help people. Because right now, today, Chris, this is, I'll end with this thought. There are so many who want to figure out how to be entrepreneurs. There are so many that are in the middle of the firestorms of life. And there are ways to create, to excel, in the middle of a firestorm, if you know the principles and the practices and the processes. So we have Ogmandino and all the principles, practices, processes, science, everything wrapped up into this book, and now it's available for people to read and take on their lives. Very exciting to get to this point in the process.
Very exciting. It's so inspiring. What I'd love to chat with you about first, though, is if you can share, what is the biggest mindset or mind block that holds entrepreneurs back from getting started? And then I want to go into the assessment process, because it's truly amazing what you're able to uncover in our thought processes.
We had fun with it, didn't we?
Absolutely.
Okay, entrepreneurs, let's buckle up our seatbelts. There are two or three key issues. Almost everyone in the 98 percentile that are attracted to being entrepreneurs have a natural resistance for structure. They like to think outside the box, and they need to be right. And they don't like it when someone else tries to impose structure on them, and they don't like authority. Most entrepreneurs don't value someone based on their title. It's based on their contribution, on their intellect. It's a value. So we have this as an issue. We have obsessive thought processes. We're effortless thinkers. We're constantly obsessively thinking about new and better ways to do things, and often very vividly. We could be driving down the road and miss an exit because, you know, our mind is somewhere else, you know? Mm-hmm. And the greatest risk for an entrepreneur, someone who wants to be entrepreneurial, the single greatest risk is what I call the ease dis-ease. It's a desire to do this with the intention, the secret intention, the real desire, to have a life that's more comfortable, a life with less stress, with less pain, with less debt, et cetera, et cetera. The news is this. I'm sitting here at my home, and next door neighbor, the CEO of the Children's Miracle Network, the next neighbor, the seventh largest home builder. You go down this neighborhood, great people. I can tell you, there's not one of them that lives a life free of stress. Here's the secret. They have chosen to be stretched and to grow and become the person who can handle ever-increasing levels of stress with greater and greater ease. We don't become an entrepreneur to have life easy. We become an entrepreneur because we want to embrace life. So just write these words down. Engage. An entrepreneur chooses to engage in life. We're not. We don't have a job. We don't show it up at 8 and leave at 5. We blur the lines between fun and business. We're just alive. We're always alive. The time we wake up, the time we go to bed, we're alive. We've chosen to engage in life. We don't want it easier. We want to create something more exciting. So we engage in life. That's one. So engage. Two, embrace. We embrace principles. And I'll tell you what, ease is not a principle. Ease is an escape. And if we were to use our mind, this vivid visualization, to go to a time in the future when we're rich, and many of us have done this, and start imagining what it's going to be like after the company's built, after we've reached, you know, this hurdle, and then we go beyond it. The instant we go beyond it and start to imagine what life will be like then, we are in fantasy. And because of your thought processes that attracted you to entrepreneurism in the first place, the same brain chemistry, brain circuitry is firing that would occur if you're actually there. You'll also have norepinephrine coursing through your body, through your sympathetic nervous system. That's a euphoric drug. It would be a controlled substance if it were prescribed. Now, here's what we set ourselves up for. And those of you on the phone, to see if you've ever been here, you go to the future, the business is built, the money's flowing. Okay, we start thinking about the houses, the cars, the lifestyle. Oh, it feels so good. I can't wait. Here's the challenge. In your beautiful, vivid mind, you just created what the neuroscientists call a mental construct. It means you've constructed this idea. It's a reality to the mind. It's a non-negotiable mental monolith. It's expectation, a concrete condition for happiness. The instant that reality shows up differently, that moment it does, your body will go into an autonomic response. Some of you have been here, so you'll know what I'm saying. You can almost feel it coming. It's like, ah. And the sympathetic nervous system that was releasing norepinephrine now is releasing cortisol. Cortisol is released in the body to heal wounds, to increase metabolism. It consumes the cells of our body. It destroys our immune systems when it's released in chronic doses. And when people who want to be entrepreneurial dare to go to a future event and then live beyond it, they're setting themselves up for chronic, continual doses of cortisol. Now I'm going to complicate it. In addition, the fight or flight center, your amygdala, starts sending out an army to shut down all the energy-rich parts of your brain. Just feel all of those places going into a brownout. You know, because all the energy is being centralized in the fight or flight center. And your hippocampus, your memory center, is being shut down. You're emotionally paralyzed. This is not good. Many young beginning entrepreneurs get caught up in this ease, dis-ease, this desire to escape to a time when... This is not a principle. This is not a principle. This is a destroyer of people. Because you'll have this emotional high followed by this emotional low. Then you go to emotional high followed by emotional low. We cannot intentionally create our dreams following this process. So we embrace correct principles. We learn to use our vivid visualization constructively. Mental rehearsal, inspiration, exploration, planning, goal setting, problem solving. I go through each one of these in the book so you can learn them. But these are beautiful ways for us to learn how to use our mind to do the one thing it's designed to do in mental creation, which is to manifest, write this down, manifest an inspired idea, impression, or solution to a challenge. That's what it's designed to do. Because when that happens, we are physiologically built. If you were wired to a functional MRI when that happened, it would light up part of your brain that human beings normally don't use. It ignites our passion, which is a willingness to suffer for, to do whatever is required, to work without counting the cost, tracking the time. We're not clocking in and clocking out. We are creating that which we've seen so clearly in our minds. That's what drives entrepreneurs. And natural, intuitive entrepreneurs use their mind constructively. So I've said engage, embrace these principles. Third is connect and serve. Their visualization is not about richness, getting rich. It's not about escape. It's not a void. It's about blessing the lives of people. How can my service, my project, my product bless people? I will learn how to connect and honor and serve people. When entrepreneurs get stuck in this ease thing, this fantasy thing, we sometimes just want to get rich so we can buy that tropical island so we can get away from annoying people. Entrepreneurs learn to love to connect and serve. Connect and serve. Number four, they create value everywhere they go. What can I create? How can I create that? How will that serve? And lastly, they contribute. They contribute to the world. The world's better for having them here. They're not takers. They're not into, oh, I'm worthy to receive. They're focused on creating something that will add value to the planet. And they are handsomely rewarded for their efforts. That is the single greatest challenge that an entrepreneur faces, is using their vivid visualization destructively to go into fantasy, catastrophe, all these negative things, versus using their mind constructively to get inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to challenges that will ignite passion. Last comment on that. You cannot fantasize big enough to ignite passion. Passion is designed to assist us in doing the work. If we're in fantasy, we're trying to skip the work. We just want it manifest. And so we miss all the millimeters of creation. The very things that stretch us and cause us to grow and become the person who can handle ever-increasing levels of stress. Because our success and our income, our remuneration, is in direct proportion to our ability to do so. So that's the long version of the short answer, I guess. But that's it. That's the biggest challenge.
Wow. And I know, you know, the listeners, and myself included, know what this process feels like. But it's being able to identify that. And that's what I'd love for you to share now, is just with the assessment. I mean, this assessment is absolutely amazing. It took me less than 10 minutes. And when we just talked here for half an hour before the call, you pinpointed absolutely everything that's going on in my mind, my process of how I think. How have you been able to develop that, do that for each person in such a short assessment? What's the magic or the science behind it?
The science behind it is called axiological mathematics, big phrase. It makes it really simple to take the assessment. You rank 18 words or phrases in what's called your external world. Your thought process is external to you. Then your internal world, the thought process you have with yourself about yourself. It's relatively easy. We say put the most important at the top, the least important at the bottom, and rank the rest in between. Behind all of that is a mathematical hierarchy and a mathematical calculation. It's Cantor's transfinite calculus. When you get done ranking the words or phrases, which have been scientifically validated to represent those mathematical calculations, I know where your thought processes are congruent with the math and where your thought processes deviate from the math. I also know to the extent to which that deviation occurs, that variation. Now, based on that and the research we've done and the 4,300 of these, I think we stopped counting last January. There's another probably 500 since then, over 4,000 times going through this, knowing how you think, and knowing the most common risks associated with those thought processes. Chris, I know with you, usually I'll spend time interviewing someone. I'll know a lot about what's going on before I apply these principles. With you, we decided just to dive right into the measurements so you could see the power without me knowing anything about you in terms of your personal life. And we had a great time because it just kept, it's your thought process. It's how you are thinking. Here are the risks. And we went, wow, yeah, this is exactly what I'm doing. This is so important for us to know, because we're not into feel-good coaching. We're into shifting people's lives, starting with the foundation of their thought processes. Which thoughts are supporting you? Which thought processes are sabotaging you? Can we step back, look at them, and put together a program to actually shift a thought process so it's easier for you to function without carrying around that extra brick in your backpack or that tether that wants to hold you down to the ground? It's so wonderful to be able to have this math. The math was created by a scientist at the University of Tennessee, Robert S. Hartman. We use his Hartman Value Profile as a scientifically validated instrument. All of the interpretive information is proprietary to us. The way we lay it out is proprietary to us. This is based on our own years and years and years of work with this mathematics to understand what's happening in a person's life. If a person really wants to know, we can measure it, and we know. And then we can finally apply time and resources to the very places that need to be impacted. It's the assessment. Easy to take, comprehensive in its results.
Absolutely. And this, and the assessment works, I mean, you don't just work with business owners. You work with people on relationships, on just creating, you know, joy and peace in their mind, in business. I mean, this impacts everything from what you're doing, from your mental processes to everything that carries over in your life, which I think is so exciting because that the assessment, when you went through it, it covered absolutely everything. It's all encompassing. And so I'd love for you to share, which, I mean, it truly is. I mean, for that short amount of time, it just amazes me because I took this assessment 5 years ago, and it's different now, but it's still, it's very interesting to see how things change and what shifts and what doesn't and how things, with that impact. So I'd love for you to share, because you have coached with so many different types of personality types and different business owners. Do you find certain types of entrepreneurs have different results, or do you see similarities in different industries that you work with?
Great question. We actually found that entrepreneurs share 7 thought processes in common between 92 to 99.5% of the time.
Wow.
This was a great discovery. They are very different in the way they think. Now, not everybody's got, you know, 92% of them have this one, 95% of them have this one. That's an anomaly. We don't see this anywhere else. They don't make very good employees, you know.
No, we don't.
You take an entrepreneur who's not really heavy into authority, you know, and you get a micromanaging boss that said, do it this way. Well, it doesn't make sense to do that. Well, you'll do it this way, but why? Because I'm the boss. You know, hair raises up on the back of the entrepreneur's neck, and they probably will say something, and it'll cost them their job. You know, but that's an entrepreneur.
Yep.
Yeah. You want to hear about some of those thought processes?
Absolutely.
I'll share a couple of them with you. When you're talking about entrepreneurs are generally effortless thinkers, constantly obsessively thinking. The challenge with that is we can get really attached to our ideas. And one of the risks is that we need to be right. I was interviewing, I actually put this in the book. I got permission from her. I was doing a couple. Husband owned a big company, and his wife was a successful realtor and just wonderful people. But they were having some challenges because both of them are entrepreneurial. And you get two people who need to be right in any relationship. It can be really fireworks. And I said to her during her initial assessment debrief, I said, you know, both of you have this measurement. The risk is that you could break up your relationship based on what's the correct topping for a pizza, pepperoni or sausage. She said, no, actually, Dave, it was a bagel.
It was a bagel.
That is one of the great risks for an entrepreneur. We'll get attached to our ideas. The very gift that allows us to think effortlessly has the shadow side of needing to be right. So with an entrepreneur, we'll teach them not to shift the thought, but to manage it. Be more conscious and aware. Show them how to find good in another person's idea, how to take down their walls of resistance, how to create a conversation that's not systemic. Can we raise their awareness to what we call extrinsic thought, intrinsic thought, the value of the person, the practical, logical, and not the right, wrong of it? It's just a different way of seeing a situation with a heightened level of awareness. And the entrepreneur can have their effortless thinking assist them in solving problems without having to blow apart relationships. That's just a classic example. I shared the other one, which is vivid visualization. That's an interesting one. I'll share another one with you. The measurement's called respectful. It's in the top left-hand side. It's present 92% of the time. And entrepreneurs have a tendency to see other people and believe what they see. Now, this can cause an entrepreneur to create an expectation about how someone will perform based on how they look. And then when they don't, we get discouraged. Or we can be intimidated by how someone looks. So we teach an entrepreneur how to be patient and step into a person's world, become a good listener, and ask empathetic questions so walls come down, so we can have a real, genuine, and authentic conversation with someone. And then we know the truth of it. Now we can serve them more effectively. We can set proper expectation of performance. And we certainly discover that intimidation would not be appropriate. We're comfortable with them when we're having a genuine, authentic conversation. That would be another common one. But there are seven of them like this. And it's so fun for entrepreneurs to finally get into this place. And by the way, because you're like the ultimate entrepreneur, so isn't it fun? You're teaching entrepreneurs how to be entrepreneurs.
Yeah, it's amazing just with that process of just decoding how we think. Because I think I see that a lot with people I coach too, and that process. We know something's off, but we're not sure what those thought processes are. So I'd love for you to share how you, once you've taken the assessment and once you know where you're at with your thought process, what's going on, what's working, what's not, what's the next step, and how do you create an individualized plan for each person you work with to help them overcome their thought processes?
Well, our coaching practicum covers six areas, and I've covered three of them in the book. I call the three in the book are the foundational. The other three are things that get in the way of us doing the foundational. The very first thing we teach an entrepreneur is the greatest secret of success in all ventures, which is how to love a person. And love meaning agape, which means a heightened level of awareness. This isn't warm and fuzzy. This is just seeing the value in a human being, treating them as a human being, how to listen to them, how to take down the walls of resistance, how to unleash cooperation and productivity in everyone. Because entrepreneurs, to be entrepreneurial, you will build a business. And you will be dependent on other people to perform a task. And you cannot do it all. You cannot. So you'll want to, as an entrepreneur, learn how to pull out of everyone else their very best. It's the greatest lesson for a leader in general to learn, that I don't need to have all the answers other than the answers for how to pull out the answers from all my good people. Jim Collins' book, Good to Great, you surround yourself with the right people on the bus. So entrepreneurs need to learn how to have that relationship. When we feel strongly about an idea, we need to learn how to find good in another person's idea, how to not need to be right and crush people, because we do not win when we crush. You know, we get to be right, but we don't get to be rich. So relationships are really a key piece, this connection with human beings. After we've got those pieces in place and we're starting to use them, we go to mental creation, which is how to use those vivid thought processes constructively to manifest ideas and impressions and solutions to challenges that we might passion. And once we learn how to do that, then we generally take an entrepreneur, and by the way, we're working with their individual measurements in each one of these areas, but this is the sequence: people, mental creation, then physical creation, how to be present in the now. We find that very few entrepreneurs are present. Matter of fact, we have an exercise we put them through that demonstrates that it's nearly impossible for them to stay fully present, mind and body, in the now, three times a day for a week.
Wow.
For an hour. Wow. I've had 7 out of 3,500 coaching clients who were able to do it the first week. Wow. To stay fully present for 1 hour at a time, three times a day for a week. Now, you and I will sit here, and every entrepreneur on the phone will go, well, I'd be number eight. I'd be number nine. Well, I'm excited. I'm waiting for eight. Where are you? We are just not present. Our mind is almost always somewhere else. So we rein it in, mind and body, wet it in the same place, in the actual creation of the idea. We're great at ideas. We are often pretty poor at execution, doing the millimeters of actually making it come to fruition. And after that, we generally take on discipline and structure because we're bumping into all that resistance and resentment and rebellion to what it's going to take to actually discipline ourselves to do that. And then we want entrepreneurs to enjoy this journey because entrepreneurship is not about destinations. Oh, they're mile markers, but it's not about destinations. It's the journey. It is the journey of entrepreneurship. And then ultimately we get to self-esteem because there are some issues that often happen in self-esteem, either from childhood or unmet expectations or comparison or maybe even some secret addictions. There's some all kinds of things that can be creating self-esteem issues, and so we work on those last. That's like the seven-headed Medusa. But following that pattern, working on the thought processes within each one of those major categories, we're able to have someone get grounded, get into mental creation, physical creation, focused on serving other people, enjoying the process, surrendering to what's required, and feeling pretty darn good about yourself while you're doing it, which is where our objective is to be real and genuine and authentic without the need to impress and pretend and feel ashamed and fear, which is, as Dr. Hartman said, the most difficult task in our mortal existence and the highest level of maturity. Entrepreneurs ultimately want to be very mature people. And you can always tell when someone's into fantasy or someone's into need to be right. And, you know, those aren't mature entrepreneurs. They're high maintenance people.
Right.
You want to be creative, productive, connected, and healthy. Or it's not even fun.
Yeah, it's interesting when you talk about the presence, too, of not being present very often. And that, so going into that, just like what we did with my assessment and seeing those key areas where my mind shifts very rapidly in the cycle that I go through, can you explain how you're able to see that cycle? Because, I mean, literally, you pinpointed exactly what's going on, like where I'm going, my whole thought process, and how you're able to help entrepreneurs determine that, and then how you're able to help them change that cycle.
Well, this particular thought process that we're talking about, we see frequently with entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs are so visionary that they have already seen it. It's a done deal. That's why
right.
They need to be right. If someone wants to change it, it's like changing history. It hasn't been created yet, but we're changing history, right?
So
we come to the process where we meet what's called a systemic thought, that gestalt where we see the whole thing. Oh, there it is. I can see it. And we crash into linear time. Tick, 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 tick. You know, I say we often get ticked off, you know, because it just takes so long to manifest something intangible reality that we have created in a nanosecond.
Right.
You know, a Learjet, you can create it in a nanosecond in your mind. I mean, you could create it, travel all over the world in the time it takes to shower in the morning, but if you just bought one, paid for it, it's going to take months for them to create it, having already paid for it. You put in the order, it takes, you know, better part of a year for them to deliver it to you. That's the reality of life, and it is so hard for entrepreneurs to keep crashing into what it takes. You and I were laughing earlier about sometimes we just get impatient. Good grief, do I have to get on the line and put every nut and bolt in the plane? Come on, people. It's like, can you imagine what we could accomplish if we didn't have to involve people? Because in our mind, we don't. Oh, I got to read something to you. This is funny because I think it's funny, if we can get everybody laughing for a moment, that when we're in fantasy, when we engage in fantasy in order in other forms of counterfeit pleasure designed to anesthetize reality, we can get a very unrealistic perspective of life. And this is true of the entrepreneur who's seen the vision. No one has morning breath or body odor. No one passes gas or burps. There's always oodles of money and no bills to pay, no work to do, no schedule to keep. We never get ill or have any accidents. We never get discouraged, frustrated, disillusioned, or angry. Our car never breaks down. We never have to work late. Nothing ever gets spilled. Everyone gets along. There's always love at home. Committed relationships are filled with courtship, romance, and intimacy. Babies never poop, throw up, or cry. Everyone does everything they're supposed to do when they're supposed to do it. There is never an emergency or imposition. The sun is always shining, and everyone drives courteously. Well, if it worked that way, everybody would be an entrepreneur, right? The secret of the entrepreneur is not just the vision. The ideas are worth a dime a dozen. The entrepreneur has disciplined themselves to take this vision and create it in tangible reality. This can be the challenge. This is the challenge. This is where the money's made. This is where the real bank accounts exist. This is where the real freedom exists. So we learn to create this. Well, if it takes a long time, we can get into a process where we just, a cycle of obligation, all the have-tos and shoulds and musts and need-tos and even fear of consequences if we don't. And too many of us entrepreneurs start with too few funds, so we're on shoestrings during our creation, and we get tired. We get tired, we'll rebel, we rebel, we think about quitting, then we feel guilty, then we recommit, then we go back and we do our obligation and have to, should, and must till we get tired, then we rebel. It's so easy to see entrepreneurs get stuck in this place called obligation, and it's simply because linear time is so frustrating when compared with the entrepreneur's brilliant vision. When entrepreneurs grasp the reality that creation occurs in two very different dimensions, both equally important, but the rules are different in each one of them. In mental creation, we'll want to be constructive so we can ignite passion. In physical reality, nobody gets to skip the work. There's not a course you can take or an author you can read who's going to help you have a fantasy fairy who will magically manifest your wishes if you'll just visualize it with enough intention. Good luck. Spend all the equity in the house. And when you're done with that and broke, come and talk to me and we'll talk about what it takes to physically create something in tangible reality. And the power that's present, the partnership that's there when we're focusing on serving people and how fast we can speed it up. But even sped up, it takes time. And that's very hard for some entrepreneurs. So grasping that concept that there is work involved, but let us make it passion-driven. If we're getting ourselves stuck in obligation, we've just lost our passion. So we'll go back and use our gift, vividly visualize, get a new vision, bring it into the now, and go back into passion-driven action. Because you and I talked about earlier, Chris, that you can put in all-nighters. Nobody can stop you when you are passion-driven. But if we don't have passion and work becomes boring and mundane and repetitious and burdensome and hard, I hope that answered the question. I hope we got some people on the call going, oh, my goodness. I've been there. Yeah, if you're there, just step back from it. It's just life. You're on a journey. This is part of where you stretch and you'll grow and you'll become the person who can sustain these moments. Og says, I'll keep my eyes and the goal above my head. I'll ignore the obstacles at my feet. For where dry desert ends, green grass grows. I will persist until I succeed. By the way, when you buy the book, there's a CD of Og narrating in his own voice all of the scrolls. And this one is so powerful because entrepreneurs learn that everything is done in small steps. In small attempts repeated will complete any undertaking. They never lose track of the millimeters of creation, even though they're haunted by their vision and impatience.
Wow.
Would you share with the audience, if some people aren't familiar with the Ten Scrolls, what that principle is and what those are about?
Oh, certainly. Thank you. I made kind of an assumption, didn't I? Hogg wrote the book, The Greatest Salesman in the World, 1968. Felt Publishing had given him a book contract. He wrote the beginning and the end, but in the middle was supposed to be the Wisdom of the Ages, 10 time-tested principles of success. And he spent months. I mean, he was tortured. What do I write? He was a voracious reader, huge library, not a day of college. Brilliant man. And Betty said he took 2 days off of work. And the second day, he finished dinner and helped tuck the kids in bed and went and laid down for a moment just to ponder. And these words came to him. Today I begin a new life. Today I shed my old skin, which hath too long suffered the bruises of failure and the wounds of mediocrity. Today I am born anew, and my birthplace is a vineyard where there's fruit for all. And he just leapt out of bed, ran into a studio, IBM Selectric typewriter, and started typing. It's like 9 o'clock at night. He typed till 9 o'clock the next morning. Walked into the bedroom, said to Betty, it's done, and collapsed, and all 10 scrolls were written. If you haven't read them, when you read them, you'll go, you're kidding me. That flowed just like that all night. He just typed. You don't have cut and paste on an IBM Selectric. You just type. And he typed, and the only one Betty made him amend was scroll 2, I'll greet this day with love in my heart. He understood the Greek word agape, a heightened level of awareness, not warm and fuzzy, you know, teenage kind of love or erotic love, but a heightened level of awareness. So he amended that to make it a little simpler. But the 10 scrolls really are what moved me in Ogg's material. There have been 25 million people buy that book, The Greatest Salesman. And it really is the foundational principles for all that we teach. We've got principles and practices and processes to make them come alive. But when we study them, they support us in loving people and being persistent until we succeed and we're the nature's greatest miracle. You know, Hogg says this is for the entrepreneur. I'm here for a purpose, and my purpose is to grow into a mountain, not to shrink into a grain of sand. Henceforth, I will apply all of my effort and grow into the tallest mountain of all, and I'll strain my potential until it cries for mercy. I mean, that's a powerful statement. That's the entrepreneur. Then I'll live this day as if it is my last. Not as if I'm dying tomorrow, but this is the last time I get this day. Entrepreneurs seal up the container of life called today, and they don't waste a minute. They don't let one drop, as Ogg says, spill upon the sand. 6, they become the master of their emotions by controlling their thoughts. 7, they learn to laugh. This too shall pass. They laugh and their digestion improves. They laugh and they keep things in proper perspective. 8, they learn to magnify their value 100-fold. They multiply it by setting goals and objectives, being planted in the darkness of the soil, which is their failures and their inabilities. They bring their life experiences to the table in the service of others. 9, they learn how to act now. Ogg says, my dreams are worthless. My plans are dust. My goals are impossible. All are of no value unless they're followed by action. I hunger for success. Anybody on the phone feel this way? I hunger for success. I thirst for happiness and peace of mind. Lest I act, I will perish in a life of failure, misery, and sleepless nights. I will command, and I will obey my own command. These are powerful principles. And the last one is I'll seek guidance. I don't ask for gold or garments or even opportunities. I seek to acquire ability. Key phrase, equal to my opportunities. In other words, entrepreneurs are constantly growing. They are like sponges. And as their ability increases, they simply see more opportunity. If we don't see it, we don't have the ability to see it. It's everywhere. If we see it, and we see it by gaining ability. At the very beginning, Scroll 1 just tells us we got some really bad habits. And it's time for us to get them corrected. And the next 9 scrolls are the principles that we'll want to embrace. These are powerful principles, time-tested, time-proven principles. And I talk to CEOs all the time of major companies who say, you know, my dad gave me that book when I was 18. I wanted a car. But I got the book. Mark LeBlanc told me that, his father. He wanted a car, but his dad gave him the book instead. Changed his life.
Yeah.
He studied each one of those scrolls three times a day for 30 days and had a life-changing experience. It's never too late, but they're very powerful. Thanks for asking. I just love those principles.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the foundation of what you've created. And I'd love to ask you with, because, you know, in today's age in the personal development and for entrepreneurs, I'm always constantly going to events and educating myself, and there's always these new processes. And I'm curious to see what your thoughts are with what you've been able to create and how you truly help entrepreneurs make that shift. What the difference is between how you work and some of the other principles out there, like affirmations and some of all the other mindset, I don't want to say tricks, but techniques that people use that sometimes make people more frustrated, and how you can overcome that.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned affirmations. I wrote in the book, it is time to become an intentional creator of your life. We will start by mastering the art of connection. The following characteristics will support you in this effort. Each is stated as an I am affirmation focused on becoming, that's a key, versus having or getting. These affirmations will bring your thoughts and ultimately your actions into alignment with the principles, practices, and processes of an intentional creation. In the past, we may have attempted to use affirmations that focused more on having versus becoming. For example, I am wealthy. I have 20,000 people in my business as a network marketer, for example. I have a monthly check of $50,000. A having affirmation focuses on what people can do for us. A becoming affirmation focuses on how we can serve others. For example, I am empathetic. I possess a deep and profound reverence for the infinite worth of every human being. I make friends with everyone I meet. Some friends buy my products. Some friends join my business. Everyone is a friend, end quote. In this example, having money is the natural outcome of becoming empathetic and creating friends. Become while doing, and you will have. This is a distinction, I think, in the Ogmandino work, that we focus on becoming by doing, and as a result, we will have as a natural outcome. So each one of the characteristics, I am empathetic. I see that pricelessness. I am respectful. I see people's contributions. I am accepting. I honor people's belief systems. I am tolerant. I am just and fair. I am compassionate. When I become all of these characteristics, we measure with the assessment. Through my doing, I will have. You can't avoid it. It's just what happens as we become that person. So I would say that's probably a key piece, and it's a real temptation for entrepreneurs to focus their affirmations on having instead of becoming. It's a tragedy because there is a proclivity, a natural negative tendency to go into fantasy, and a having affirmation drives a person into fantasy. It's like a dream board.
Right.
My dream board is a target. The risk is 98% of the entrepreneurs, the risk they'll be at by creating a dream board about things, they'll spend at a daily destination. They'll actually spend time with their sailboat. They'll spend time with their Ferrari. They'll spend time with their swimming pool. And they'll never get it created. And there are enough people on this planet, Chris, I'm going to go to a dangerous place for a moment. Oh, this is scary. Who are telling them that if they just visualize it with enough intention, it will manifest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hooey.
Mm-hmm.
They are broke, broken, and angry. People waste their life savings, equity in their home, and their credit cards pursuing an easy way to creation. When we use our mind constructively, we get the inspired idea. That's what it's there for, is to ignite our passion so that we can do the work required, passion-driven. I said earlier, nobody gets to skip the work. Is that we're going to do it passion-driven, or is it going to be boring, mundane, repetitious, and hard? Those are our choices. Nobody gets to skip the work. And I get scared to death. I just get heartbroken when I get a client who has gone through enormous amounts of money. And you know what they believe in the end? They believe that they're not worthy. Something's wrong with them. I've even heard them crying, men, maybe God doesn't love me. It seems to be working for everybody else but me. And the secret is it's not working for anybody except for the guy selling the material. This is a real tragedy. It is time for us in the self-improvement arena to get down to what it really takes, and there is no easy way. There's an easier way, but there's no easy way. And if, back full circle now to where we started, if our intention is to escape and avoid and just get a big enough house on a big enough mountain so we don't have to deal with annoying people anymore, we are in absolute conflict. We're incongruent with the very principles of creation. We'll never get there. That's why we want to engage, embrace, connect, serve, create, and contribute. Use our mind constructively. And lastly, Chris, it's a hard message to sell to someone who just wants to be rich. Entrepreneurs aren't focused on that. True entrepreneurs are focused on contribution. They're focused on enriching the world. They're focused on helping people be better and blessing their lives. That's a true entrepreneur. That's a powerful person. We need more of those kinds of, not kinds of, that is an entrepreneur. We need real entrepreneurs, more of them. But seeking ease and getting rich, that's not entrepreneurship. That's, I want to be independent so I don't have to do anything. I want to quit my job so I don't have to work. I want to be rich so I don't have to do anything. Why? Wow, you missed the whole thing, the whole purpose. Yeah. I get on soapboxes, don't I?
You know, it's amazing because it's so true. And, I mean, because, we know that people listening to the call that really want to make a difference, and I work with them all day long, and I'm so excited with the process and how you work with people because you truly are able to help us get out of our head and to make those a reality and to stop those sabotaging cycles and to make people, you know, look in the mirror and realize what the reality is and what we need to do. Because when you get into the fun of the passion and creating, doing the work is fun. It's fun. But you got to get there first, and you got to get out of that fantasy state, and you have to know how to get yourself out of that. So it's so empowering what you're doing and what you're creating. So I'll put you on a soapbox all day long.
I love what you said. That's it. The joy is in the creation. Gosh, when we're done, we got to do something else. Time for something else.
Yep.
You know, if we're always looking at the destination, we'd be terribly bored if it would just manifest. Okay, now what's next? What's next? The joy is in the creation. That is the entrepreneur. They love the creation process.
Absolutely. And if you can help us get to that more often than not, that's where we're really happy because it's all the other stuff that blocks our creativity that puts us into that state. So, is there anything, but because I know we're here at the end of the call, I'd love to keep you on for hours longer, but is there anything else you'd like to share with my audience?
Yeah. If you're going into this process and you're all discouraged, just know that the number one cause for self-esteem challenges is an unmet expectation. When your mind gets focused on what it's going to be like when, and life shows up differently, we have that autonomic response we talked about, it, cortisol surge, etc. The natural consequence is to turn inward. And we question our worth and our worthiness and our ability and even our belief systems. And then we start sacrificing ourselves to somehow create this, and we get into a deadly, awful cycle. Just know the number one cause of self-esteem challenges in an entrepreneur is an unmet expectation. Just learn how to use your mind constructively so we're not having those highs and lows. We're in passion-driven action. And when you're in passion-driven action, you get to meet your true self. That's when you meet you. It's like when we're procrastinating, we finally jump in and do something. It's like, wow, that wasn't so hard. You know, we're surprised at our own ability when we shut off the noise in our head. You know, wow, why did I wait so long? I don't know, why did you? It's like, why wouldn't we want to spend time with ourselves? Being genuine, embracing our genius, and bringing it to the forefront in the service of other people. That's what it means to be genuine. Genuine comes from genus, genius. Being authentic means anthos hectic, being our true self. Doing the right thing for the right reason because we want to, get to, choose to. Just know that when we're in unrealistic expectations, I should say that, if you're experiencing some self-deprecating dialogue, if you are, and many will, just know the number one cause is we probably were using our mind destructively. So just learn how to use it constructively, and you'll start easing a lot of the self-esteem issues. It is so fun to spend time with yourself, loving and serving other people. Not holding anything back. That's not ego. That's wholeness. That's completeness. That's joyful. Entrepreneurs stay here, and they'll be successful.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Dave, for coming on the show and sharing all this insightful, amazing information. And if you want to learn more about Dave Blanchard's, the Augmentino company, and the assessment and how he can help you with your mindset and working through this, make sure you head over to chrisgilbertson.com, click on the expert blog section, and the link will take you right to Dave for his eligible information, content details, and how to go and take that free assessment so you can understand exactly what we're talking about here. And again, thank you, Dave, so much for coming on the call, and I wish everybody to go out and make it a great day.